Swedish scientist Svante Paabo was awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his work deciphering the Neanderthal genome. His research provided new information about Neanderthal culture and society and info that can teach us, humans living thousands of years after Neanderthals, about our own health. John Hawks is a paleoanthropologist and Distinguished Achievement Professor in Anthropology at UW-Madison. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
First, can you situate Neanderthals in our family tree, which changes over time sometimes with new information? How are they related to us?
Sure. Neanderthals are a group of people who lived between about 450,000 years ago and about 40,000 years ago in the western half of Eurasia, broadly put. And they are the most numerous fossil representative of the human lineage. They are the most recent extinct members of our lineage, and they're ones that we know the most about.
Now, a lot of our conversation today is about their DNA. And you just said 40,000 years ago. How hard is it to get useful DNA profiles of something that someone that lived 40,000 years ago?
You know, it's really remarkable. When I was a student in the 1990s, I used to tell people, this is never going to be possible. And, you know, Jurassic Park was a thing. So people were curious, you know, is it possible to get genetic information from the past? There were many, many barriers to it. DNA breaks down over time. And it's a chemical. It's a tough chemical. It can last in your body and after you die for some period of time. But it inevitably breaks down into really, really tiny fragments. It was the technical advances of, you know, really the years from 2000 to 2010 in which our methods of sequencing genetics began to rely on an approach that was breaking down people's DNA into tiny fragments and sequencing them all, that shotgun sequencing approach that made people able to take tiny fragments of DNA from ancient sites and do anything with them at all. Today, it is, you know, I wouldn't say routine, but with very specialized laboratories and approaches, it's possible to get genetic evidence out of 40,000, 100,000-year-old fossils that are as good a quality as we can get from living people.
And then did I see this study that just came out? Was this over the weekend? We have what might be a whole family or at least a closely connected community of Neanderthals. We've got their DNA now.
This is really a fascinating story for me. This is a cave in southern Russia, in Siberia, where there are tiny bone fragments from an archaeological layer that dates to somewhere around 45,000 to 60,000 years ago. And those tiny bone fragments now, every single one of them has had DNA application to it. And they were able to uncover that some of them were tiny fragments of a single individual. There was a pair of a tiny piece of vertebra and a tooth that were the father and his daughter. There were others that were aunt and nephew or second order relatives of that kind. So that picture of a Neanderthal group made up of, I think, 15 individuals, where you can see the kinship among them, gives us a picture of a past society that would have been totally impossible to imagine 10, 15 years ago.
Talking to John Hawks, paleoanthropologist at UW-Madison, talking about Neanderthal DNA, how we're extracting it, using it, finding stuff out about it, and what it means for our health today. And let's get into that. This is cool in and of itself, but also we can learn lessons about our DNA and its relation to our health now?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the really, just profound things that was learned from getting the genomes of these ancient people is that there are very, very few things that make us different from them. You know, we have their DNA today in a small fraction. You know, you and I are something like 2%. We can trace our ancestry to this ancient group. They're not really extinct in that sense, right? We are their descendants. The genes that we got from them are still in our genomes doing stuff. And it's possible to study today tens of thousands of people and look at them and see, okay, the people that carry this Neanderthal gene here, how are they different from the ones who don't have that? There are several genes that impact human immunity and human responses to viruses that, for example, that are from Neanderthals. With COVID-19, Svante's group, the Nobel Prize winner, found that there is a genetic variant that's relatively common in Northern Europe that increases susceptibility to severe COVID, right? People who get that severe COVID hospitalization, they're more likely to carry this variant. With other things, we think that the Neanderthal variation may actually improve matters, may give us resistance to things that today, you know, are a problem for people. So, you know, there's no predicting, right? It's not like all the Neanderthal stuff is good or all the Neanderthal stuff is bad. But understanding the evolutionary history of these particular gene variants gives us a way of looking at the variations today and understanding why they're different and where they came from.
Now, I saw recently a more recent example during the Great Black Death of the 1300s.
Yeah.
Some people had a better chance of surviving if they had a gene that apparently may contribute to Crohn's disease today.
Mm-hmm.
Good then, bad now. Are we going to be finding more examples of that, maybe from the Neanderthal era, and maybe even reverse engineering it and figuring out these are the diseases that afflicted them back then?
You know, some of the major health challenges today, like Crohn's disease, are autoimmune diseases. And we know that the immune system is, you know, is an adaptive system within our bodies that's responding to the environments we're exposed to. Today's environments are different from the environments of past people in lots of ways. And one of the biggest ways is that with sanitation, with improved cleanliness, right, the way that we have modern life, it's removing many things that past peoples would have been exposed to early in their lives, you know, worms and parasites and bacteria, right, that were once ubiquitous in environments. Today, we're not exposed to as much. There's a major line of thought about autoimmune disease is that actually this is on the increase because we are changing environments in this way. And so understanding how these genes were active in past environments and the things that they actually helped to adapt people to survive, that can give us some clues about the biological mechanisms that we might be able to tweak today to make a difference to some of these conditions.
Now, Neanderthals are one of our relatives. They're not the only relative of ours from the past. Is there hope that we'll be getting usable DNA from other parts of, I don't know if the family tree is the right word anymore, but of our heritage there?
That's exactly right. You know, we today are able to get DNA most easily out of sites that have a relatively cold annual temperature. And that's why there's a real bias in our recovery of DNA from Europe, from parts of Asia that are sort of not tropical Asia, northern Asia. And where I work in southern Africa, it is right now not possible to get DNA from these ancient time periods. And it's because of the temperature and because of the preservation environment. There is hope that new technologies will give us access to even tinier fragments of DNA, or that we'll find situations in which it happens to be preserved more. But another way of looking at the past is by sampling ancient proteins. And we're very interested in that in my team working in southern Africa now. We're finding protein that is preserved in teeth that can be millions of years old. And that's going to give us some information. It's not as much as having a genome that has 6 billion base pairs of information. You know, proteins are relatively small compared to that, but it still may tell us some interesting clues about how these different species are connected to each other.
Could that kind of thing give us a sense of what people, say, ate or the kind of diseases they got, those proteins?
Yeah. So with the teeth, one of the biggest clues that we get from it is the things that actually affect teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most promising avenues of information today about past peoples is actually sampling the outsides of their teeth. The calculus that forms on your teeth, right? If you go to the dentist and get this scraped off, right, it's tartar, and we do tartar control to try to take it off, right? For paleontologists, that is the most amazing thing because it actually, I mean, it's kind of gross, but it's preserving tiny pieces of plants, it's preserving bacteria, and it's preserving the DNA of the individuals and also their microbiome. And we are getting more and more information out of that source.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's John Hawks, paleoanthropologist and distinguished achievement professor in anthropology at UW-Madison. He joined us today to look at Neanderthal DNA, which we can find and test and analyze, and why it matters for our health today, 2022.